Oh, postpartum. That blurry, blissful time after you have your baby. But what's it really like? What can you expect? How does it really feel to bring a new baby home? Hey, I'm Chelsea, and here on the Postpartum Project, I get to talk to real moms about their postpartum experiences because I believe that sharing our stories can help other moms feel seen and less alone. Yep, it's messy, but it's also pretty magical. Welcome to the Postpartum Project. Today I'm talking to Jasmine. She's a mom of two, and in this episode, she talks about her shock at how exhausting and difficult her first postpartum experience was, how supportive her second experience was, and how that support led her to wanting to create a community for other new moms. Here's Jasmine's story. Hello, Jasmine. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
That's awesome. So first, I'd love for you to just tell us about yourself and your family.
Yeah. I have two daughters and a husband. And my daughters are 3 and 6. I am a nurse in labor and delivery in the Bay Area. Before I was a nurse, I was a birth doula, mostly. I did a little postpartum work, but not much because, you know, birth was like the cool, juicy part to me at that point, which is funny, has changed. But, and massage therapist. And then I went to nursing school and I've been a nurse for 5 years.
Wow, that's awesome. It's so funny you say that birth was juicy to you at the time, because that's exactly how I felt too. And it kind of took me having sort of like a interesting / difficult postpartum experience to be like, wait a second, this is really important. Birth's important too, though.
Right.
So yeah, I'd love for you to just tell us about your first pregnancy and how that went.
Yeah, I got pregnant 3 months into nursing school. And so my husband and I had gotten engaged right before nursing school. And we were like, we're just going to take the engagement really slow. And then I got pregnant. We just weren't being super careful at that point. And I also just was like, it's going to take a while, you know?
Totally.
So then we were like, oh, okay. So we were really excited. I mean, we wanted kids, but just kind of figuring out how to make it all happen then. And so it was kind of a stressful pregnancy being in nursing school, and we moved, of course. I feel like that always happens in pregnancy. You're like, oh God, I need a new car. I need to move. I need, you know,
totally
getting ready. So there was a lot going on. And I was super focused on the birth. I had, because of my work as a doula, I had so many expectations of how I wanted it to go. And in retrospect, I think there was a lot of fear too of potentially ending up with a C-section, or, you know, having things happen that I didn't want to happen. And so I was really trying to control it all, which of course in birth is so difficult to do. and that whole pregnancy was kind of hard. And I think I didn't recognize the signs, you know, and nobody in my team of people, I was seeing a home birth midwife regularly, and nobody really like pointed it out to me, you know, that, hey, like there's a lot going on here, and maybe pay attention to how the, you know, this might affect your postpartum experience and stuff. And there was, like I said earlier, that focus on the birth for everybody's like, where are you going to give birth? You know, everyone wants to know about your pregnancy and give you massages and talk about your birth. And then it's like this like period after that, we just like don't even, there's no conversation. There's no, it's just so, it was really mind blowing to me, even having worked in that field for years and worked with a lot of moms, to actually experience like coming home with my baby, with my first daughter.
Yeah.
And like the weight of that responsibility was, it was a lot. It was hard. And my birth, so I started at home. I had a really long prodromal labor. I was 9 days late too. So I was sort of getting to that point where things needed to start happening. And so I labored like early labor for like a day, kind of on and off, but just like feeling crummy, not sleeping good, not eating, and then went into labor that night. And then stalled out at like 9 centimeters at home for many, many hours. And my baby's heart rate was fine. You know, nothing was wrong, but I actually was like, this isn't working. Let's go. Like I kind of called it, which felt good to be the one to be like, this, for whatever reason, this isn't happening here and we need to move. So my midwives, I told them I wanted the epidural and I said, from nursing school and being a doula, I was like, so start the IV right now. Cause I know I need to get a liter of fluid in before I can get it. So just get the fluid running. So when we get there, and so when she put me in the back of her, in the back seat of her Toyota Tacoma, so the two midwives were in the front. My husband was following in the other car. And it was kind of a bumpy ride. Like she didn't have good shocks on her car, right? So like you're 9 centimeters in a bumpy car, that's pretty good for your labor progress. And she, because everything was okay, she drove me to a hospital that's super midwife friendly, that was a little further than like the closest hospital. And so we got there and the nurse checked me and she said, you're complete. Your baby's right here. Like, let's just have a baby, which like sounds so easy, right? Like the baby's just like right here. but I pushed for 3 hours. It was exhausting. It was crazy. It was a wild experience for sure. And I definitely felt like a lot of things that I had wanted sort of went out the window. And just even though I had a natural birth, but it's interesting how hard it was for me to reconcile all of that experience. And it wasn't even so much bad care or anything that I could control. It was just, it's just hard, you know, having babies is hard. That was my birth experience. She actually came out and that was like the best feeling in the whole world, like her coming onto my chest and just the relief in that was, I still remember, you know, it was amazing. So
yeah. And then like we kind of, like you kind of said previously or earlier, you had, you know, this a lot of preparation for the birth and not a lot for postpartum. So then how did sort of this birth story that went a little bit different and not a lot of preparation for postpartum, how did that move you into your experience within the first year and more with her? How did that feel? What did that look like?
It was the first, like, I feel like the first day or two were like a blur. Like I don't even really remember it, you know. It was like just the exhaustion of days of labor, no sleep, not eating well. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe that women do this like all the time. Like I remember being like, how, like I just had so much respect for like every woman who's ever been through that. Cause I was like, amazed that we'd survived. I was just so exhausted. It was just kind of blurry those first few days. I remember the photographer came in to take pictures in the hospital. We stayed like one night. She came in to take pictures and I couldn't even like be in the photos. My husband did some photos with her and that was really cute, but I was lightheaded. I'd lost a little bit of extra blood. Like it was just, you know, you're recovering from a huge physical activity. And my midwives encouraged me to go home soon since we'd wanted a home birth and they were going to follow up with us. And they did follow up. So we went home and that was exciting, you know, like we have all those pictures coming home. And the first few weeks even were, even though my mood was up and down, and I remember, like, you know, you're like bawling one second and then you're just like the happiest you've ever been the next second. It's like such a strange, just those hormones are crazy. But people were coming to visit, and some people dropped off food here and there. We were living a little further away from our community at that point with our first daughter. But we did have some of that, meals and stuff. And so that was nice. And then I think like about like 2 or 3 weeks in, it just sort of like, it dwindles out a little bit, like all the excitement and everything. And then you're just left with like this entirely new life and this human that needs you all the time. My daughter, my first daughter was colicky. And so she cried a lot and had a very hard time sleeping. And also I had a lot of anxiety about making sure she was okay. And so like the combination of, I think, her needing me so much and me like not, like, I remember being unable to take a shower, you know, because I just couldn't even listen to her cry. Like I felt so, that guilt of that I was hurting her in some way by letting her cry for 5 minutes while I took a shower. Like little things like that, that you just don't, you can't prepare for. You don't know what it's going to be like, or if your child is going to sleep easily or not sleep easily. And I remember just those little things like the shower, little tiny normalcies that suddenly were so difficult. And then processing this birth that had changed. Everything felt sort of out of my control, I think. But it was hard to name it all too, you know? Like it took me a really long time to actually process all of that and then name that feeling or, you know, or experience. Cause when you're in it, you're just in it. And like, I wish that somebody had in like my midwife or somebody had recognized that I probably needed more support and even just told me like, hey, you really need to reach out to your family or reach out to somebody, like you need more than this. This is, you know, it's going to take more. But I really felt like I had to do it myself. And I had to just, I think now realizing that that is this cultural idea that we, grow up with and hear all around us. And so I really had internalized that feeling that if I wasn't doing a good job, it was my fault or something, you know, or if I needed help, that was like a bad thing on me, which is so not true, you know?
Yeah, not at all. And I think you're so right. So many of us feel like it's almost like, oh, I'm a mom now. I chose to have a baby. So every hardship, every difficulty, I just have to do it on my own, by myself, and all because I wanted this baby. And of course you do, but it is hard and we aren't meant to do it by ourselves. And so it is this sort of like societal idea that, oh, well, it's hard. You can't complain. You wanted this baby. If you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't have had this baby, blah, 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 that whole thing. And it's just not true.
It's just so not true. And it's funny. So I'm on a medical leave from work right now. I was in a car accident and broke a bone, et cetera. And my community, like after this car accident, my best friend started a meal train. Everybody just like rallied and I felt totally fine accepting all of it. And it was interesting because I was thinking about when I, after I had had my first daughter, and how hard it was to accept help. And it was like, because for some reason we just feel like we should be able to do it all. Whereas like the car accident was like, oh, okay, you know, it's normal to need help at this time. It's okay. Like it was just such a fascinating perspective to then have and be like, yeah, it, I just really wish that, my hope is that as a culture, we can change the way that we view the postpartum time and the way that we expect women to experience it, because obviously we're not doing a great job. All of the statistics show that. So,
yeah. Yeah. So then after that experience, you then went on to have another daughter. Talk mm-hmm. to me about your pregnancy journey with her and how that went and felt with another little kiddo and that whole experience.
Yeah. So with my second daughter, my first daughter was like 2.5 when we got pregnant, and we decided to move back during that pregnancy from Sacramento back to our hometown, where my mom actually was in Sacramento, but she moved back as well. Mike's family is here, and then our community, all of our, like many of our good friends who had gone away had moved back. So we have a pretty good community here. And we moved in with Mike's family, actually, while we sort of transitioned, even though we're still here. It's been a while, but it's they're amazing. And that was really interesting because basically I planned a hospital birth because at this birth center that is super amazing and has these amazing midwives. And I think after my first experience, I let go of a lot of my expectations, not in like a bad way, but more so that like I had a more clear vision of the things that really mattered to me. And like the other stuff, I was like, okay, that didn't matter to me so much anymore. And I was just super open to having whatever birth experience I was going to have. And I ended up having the most beautiful, amazing birth with her. I went into labor early in the morning. We drove like an hour to go to this hospital. They admitted me. I was like, I'm not really in labor. Like, maybe I should go to the movies or something and come back. And they're like, no, I think you should stay. And then like, I think she was born like 4 or 5 hours later after that. I mean, it was just quick. And she was born in the birth tub, which is something that I had wanted the first time. But this time I was like, whatever, we'll see, you know. And I pushed for like 10 minutes. I mean, it was just like crazy to me that it happened that way, you know? And so it was lovely. I mean, it was really a great experience. And we brought her home, Cora, to Mike's family home that he grew up in. And we were just surrounded by people, you know, we had our friends, we had our family, Mike's parents helped a ton. My mom was able to come help, and my sister, we were never alone. And it just was so much easier. It was, you know, I think partly it was easier because we knew what to expect a little bit. But partly I think we were just surrounded by people who loved us and loved the baby and wanted to, and loved our older daughter. And, you know, it was just, I felt held by my community that time.
Yeah. So
it was totally different. I had a great experience. Yeah.
That's so wild that you can go from, you know, just this like isolated, it's hard. It's hard in so many ways, you know, like I think from what you're saying, it sounds like the birth was easier. So maybe recovery was easier. Yeah. And just this way more supported feeling of, like you said, being held. How did that feel, you know, still having that memory of your first postpartum experience and then the second postpartum experience? What did that feel like, kind of comparing the two in the moment?
Good question. I think it was a little like surreal, maybe. It was still postpartum. I still felt tired and all the things, you know, the normal amount of it all. Whereas the first time, you know, it was definitely more than normal amount of like depression, anxiety, all those things. This time, you know, it was just kind of like hard in the ways that it is going to be hard, but not overwhelming. And yeah, I mean, it felt good. It was nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That sounds heavenly. And so not just like, oh, what a luxury, but like, that's how it should be. You know, mothers should feel held in postpartum. And so, you know, after that experience or at some point, you've now begun a passion project. Talk to us about that, what that is, and, you know, all of your purpose behind that. Give our listeners a little bit of an inside scoop there.
Sure. Yeah. Since I've been home on this medical leave, it's been like quite a pause for me. I was working full time, supporting my husband through nursing school, two kids, you know, I was like going. So then now I'm like home, recovering, prioritizing myself and my healing. Like it's hard to do that. You know, it's hard to like slow down and like, and so, for a long time, for a few years, I think there's been sort of this idea percolating for me that I wanted to be connecting with moms on a more personal level and more long-term. You know, in the hospital, I love what I do. But it's like moms show up, they're in labor, they have a baby, you give them a hug if it's not COVID times, and you help them with recovery, and then you say like, congratulations, good luck, and off they go to postpartum. And so I was just missing some of that, like more connection, more community, I guess, with like the women that I was supporting. And so that I had all these little ideas, but nothing really stuck. And then when I was home after this injury, I think I started to see like the parallels, like I was saying earlier, with postpartum. And also that had become something that I felt really strongly that needed to shift. And also, you know, as a nurse, I've seen women come back to the hospital postpartum with all kinds of things happening that really shouldn't be happening, right? And the reason that it ends up that their C-section scar opens up again, or like problems that shouldn't happen, is because they're not being seen and they're not being told, you know, reminded how that they need to be cared for, and they're not being cared for, really. Like, that's ultimately the problem. And so let's see. So as I was like resting and recuperating, this course came up by Carrie Ingram, who's a local mom, and she does a course called Community Supported Postpartum. And I talked to my husband. I'm like, is this crazy? Should I take this course with her? And he's like, yeah, just do it. I'm like, okay. So I took this course with her. It was like 10 days, and we just delved into, you know, working with moms postpartum, why community support is so important, and how to logistically start a community group for postpartum women in your local community, in person, not on Zoom. You know, with COVID, you know, that may have to be adapted, but hopefully we outside in a park, really face to face, which I think is really important. Especially, you know, we're all just in postpartum times so isolated, and that is part of the hugest problem of it. And so I drew a lot of connections from the things that I'd seen as a nurse, the issues that I was wanting to tackle with this very simple, straightforward, like just getting moms together in a park and connecting them with the resources that you have in your community, bringing in a pelvic floor specialist, bringing in an herbalist, a massage therapist to teach like lymphatic drainage, but really making it about the moms. And so that's the project that I'm doing. It's called Modern Village, and it's still in the works. I'm still, you know, putting it together, working on the website and whatnot. Hopefully I will start my first group this summer or potentially in the fall. But yeah, I'm really excited about it.
That sounds so amazing, Jasmine. That's like, I wish, and I mean, I had my oldest daughter, 5 years ago, and I did do sort of a postpartum group. It was in person, and it was so important, so necessary. And then when I had my second, for some reason, I was like, oh, I got this. I don't need to, you know, go out of my way to find a group. But I did. And I think that that made my second postpartum experience, like almost by itself made that postpartum experience so much harder, not having any sort of community of other women that were going through it, that knew what was going on, to be face to face with other people is just so important. So I think what you're doing is so amazing. I love it so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like this is necessary work, you know, it's not like, you know, in healthcare, there's a gap in care, right? And I want to fill it. Like, it should be filled. And I want people to see that it's necessary with your first, with your second baby too, with, you know, it's not like just this extra thing that you should do to take care of yourself. It's like necessary to be supported while you are recovering from birth, while you are feeding a human, like, taking care of a human life 24/7, like you need to be cared for. So I hopefully that can shift in our culture so that women really feel that and can accept the care and can, you know, can be cared for.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like you said, normalizing accepting help is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, I mean, if we had a group of other women around us who were like, I'm accepting help. This is how I'm accepting help. You know, it would be more normal. It wouldn't feel like, oh, I'm the only one who's quote unquote failing at this and needing help. It's like, we all need help. You would never have knee surgery and then just go home and not see anybody for the next 6 weeks. You would
absolutely,
you would never go through
absolutely not
any other bodily event and not receive help. You just wouldn't.
I know, it's crazy to me. And, you know, traditionally women were taken care of by other women. And I think if you look like way back into the history of childbirth and the shift from midwives to doctors and care, like somewhere in there, it was lost. This like postpartum care experience fell away because doctors, you know, they take care of you throughout your pregnancy and you give birth. And then I think that there's something so intimate about the postpartum experience that healthcare, I don't know why they couldn't go there. That it just, the medical system just didn't go there. And without our midwives and it fell away. It was lost. And it's so sad because it's not that way in other cultures. And it's even as a nurse, I see like there's a large Hispanic population that comes and delivers at my hospital, and their families are there. They only drink warm tea. You'll accidentally bring them ice water and they'll be like, oh no, warm please. And you're like, oh, sorry. and there's people caring for them. You know, it's a cultural thing. And for some reason in our culture that didn't carry through, and it's costing people, you know, sometimes their lives, I believe. And, or I know, and, you know, at the minimum, like recovery, like pelvic floor health is something that should be talked about by your doctor, that, you know, you don't. I think it becomes kind of a feminist issue a little bit. Like, these are female bodies, and sometimes the medical system has not always been amazing at treating women's bodies and understanding and knowing. And I think that's changing as more women are becoming doctors. But yeah, we need each other too. And we need to know, oh, that's normal, or, you know, that's normal and fixable, or, you know.
Yeah, that's common, but not normal.
Yeah.
Let's work together to get you back to a normal state in your body and in your mind and in your soul and your heart, all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, so with all that said, I would love for you to offer some little words of wisdom for other postpartum moms. Moms just starting off their motherhood journey, be it with their first or third or fifth, whatever it is. What would be your little nugget of wisdom for them?
I think just to do something for themselves each day, to make sure that they're doing one thing, even one little thing, you know, that really is for them, not for their baby, and accepting help from other people. I think learning how to ask for help. You know, that's really hard to do for a lot of us, myself included. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Accepting help, asking for help, all of that is really hard, but so vital for the recovery in postpartum, for your brain and for your body and all of it. I agree. Thank you so much, Jasmine. Talking to you was lovely, and I just can't wait for people to hear your story.
Thanks so much, Chelsea. Nice to meet you.
You too. And thank you, listener. If you enjoyed this story as much as I did, subscribe, give us a rating, and share with your friends. It really helps other folks find this podcast and feel seen and less alone.